Well, tonight I want to talk to you about something the Lord just stirred in me. And, you know, He's the one that gives us direction. He's the one that not only gives us direction, gives us His Word, and then He gives us understanding of His Word. And so tonight I want to talk to you about having ears to hear. Having ears to hear. You know, a lot of people, go to church, and a lot of people go for different reasons. Some feel that it's, you know, their parents went, so they got to go. Or they feel some religious, tug at their heart that they need to go. And then there's a lot of different reasons. If you were to ask 100 people, I bet you'd get a lot of different responses. It's the right thing to do. It's what we've always done. But God gave us His Word, and He wants us to understand His Word. And so when Jesus said over and over and over, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus spoke to a lot of different people, a lot of different things going on in a lot of different people's lives when He had multitudes. And some came to hear Him because they heard He did miracles. And others followed Him because, He just had great popularity through the signs and wonders that He did. And so people, followed Him. But, when He called the 12, I have a picture in my office, and it's Jesus, and he's on the beach, and Peter's there. Peter was a fisherman, and I think he's got a fish in his hand. And then it was Peter, and Andrew is there on the beach with him. And the scripture there says, he says, I'll teach you to be fishers of men. And so he called them. He called them into the ministry. God has a calling on everybody's life. Kind of taking a little tangent here, but it's just coming up in me. God has a call on everybody's life, and he wants you to find out what that is. And I guess that would follow with having ears to hear. If you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, if you set out to hear his voice, you'll hear him. And he's got only good things for you. James says every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And there's no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. God doesn't change. He's only got good for you. And it's the thief, the enemy, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I came that you might have abundant life. So we should be having and enjoying abundant life. And we shouldn't be ashamed of everything going well for us. Now, we go through trials. Jesus said we would. But we shouldn't be in a trial for 2 years and have our heads beat in. That's not what God, that's not what he meant when he said you'd go through tribulation. Tribulation is pressure. It's just pressure. You get pressures of life. That's why he said in Mark chapter 4 that some people kind of fall away. Because of the pressures of life. Other things come in and choke it out. We've got to work the second job. Kids are in sports. Got too many things to do. And God gets, the sliver gets smaller and smaller of God in people's life. And that's not the way God wants it. And, maybe you'll have an opportunity to share with somebody. I've seen people, I've been at this for 10 years, for a decade now. And I've seen all sorts of different reasons why people fall away. And, some of them, they say it's finances. I have to work Sunday morning. I remember a man coming up to me. We were at the high school at the time. And he said, I just want you to know that, God answered my prayer. I got a second job, but I'm going to have to work Sunday morning, and I won't be here anymore. I said, that job didn't come from God. And he looked at me like, what are you daring to say to me? And I said, that job didn't come from God. He says, he wouldn't pull you out of, you plugged in with us. And so it was about a year later, he'd been gone, and I found out that now he's got marital problems, and he ended up in a divorce. And then his daughter got off into drugs and got off into all sorts of things, real bad stuff. And it was a mess. And the last I heard, And we had, over the years, you know, seen one of them or the other one in a grocery store or something. They're still around, but they're unplugged. They don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. And that wasn't a hand dealt by God. That was the enemy coming in to steal. You've got to recognize, you know, why you need to be in church. And really, the main reason is to have ears to hear. God's got you here to hear. Not just because there's nothing else to do on Wednesday night. We could all find something to do. Even on a Sunday morning, we could do lots of things. Well, anyway, if you turn with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, I want you to see verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's really important. And we spent many Sundays talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and being filled and why we need it. And so Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. That must have been fun. But you know, we need to learn some things here. It says in those days he ate nothing, so not only is he out there being tempted by Satan, he's hungry. And don't you know, there was no drive-through, you know, restaurants, and nobody was bringing him. It says he was hungry. You know, most people, they're at their weakest when they're hungry. I hear so many people say, I'm starving. It's like, you're not starving. You don't even know what starving is. That means you've gone 10 minutes beyond your three-hour in-between snack. That's all that means. And you're somehow starving. But anyway, the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. In order for Jesus to say it is written, he must have known what was written. He must have heard what was written. He must have read what was written. And he used to, you know, after this point, he'd get up and he'd preach in the synagogues and teach, and he did everywhere he went. But he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's key right there. Jesus is saying, it's not the things of the flesh that is going to bring us life. It keeps our physical body, you know, happy. But the way you're going to live life is by spiritual food. And it's going to come from the Word of God. And so having ears to hear is hearing what God has to say. Hearing what God has to say. We want to do everything in our lives based on God's Word. What does God say? You know, everybody has an opinion, just like everybody has a nose. But your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion does not matter what I think about the Word. What matters is, did God say it? If God said it, then it's up to me to purpose to hear what he's saying. And then to do something about what I heard him say. You know, for God to be able to say all things are possible to him who believes, you've got to believe something. And the way you believe something is you first heard something. And how you purpose to hear that is going to determine what your belief system becomes. And so many people have different beliefs. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you just don't believe this, or you don't believe that, based on, you know, your upbringing. You know, a child up till age about 12 years old, that everything is being downloaded into them. It's so important that we raise up our kids in the way of the Lord, knowing. Because I tell you, this drug thing is out of control. And the devil, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Paul Harvey, but back in the 60s, he did a little clip. You check it out on YouTube. And it's titled, If I Were the Devil. You listen to that sometime. And I tell you, everything he said in that, we're seeing today. Amazing. Amazing. But the devil is not, he's not on vacation. he's working overtime to make a mess of people's lives. So Jesus here says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And on, he told Satan, it's written. And for him to say that, he had to have known what was written. He had to hear what his father said. Over in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I did not come on my own authority. I don't speak of my own. I only speak what I hear my father speak. And I only do what I hear, what I see my father do. And so how did he get that? He got that by spending time with him. He got that by spending time with him. And so we need to spend time with him so that we can have ears to hear. When Jesus talked about that, why don't we turn over to Mark chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Mark. This is an amazing entire chapter, and in it lies the key, the master key, if you will, to God's kingdom. And in verse 9, Jesus says to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He had just got done sharing a parable. And then he says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, nobody understood the parable. So what happened? Some of them pulled him aside later on. And it wasn't just the disciples. It says those also that heard that wanted to know. And they said, we don't have a clue what you're talking about, but we want to know. See, they were pressing in. You've got to be willing to press in. You've got to want to press in. You know, we sing the song about glorifying God and we live to want to know him more. Well, that means you want a purpose in your heart to hear him, to get to know him better. And so Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12. So there was a multitude of people that heard, but there was only a certain amount of people that wanted to know. And I preached a message once, and I titled it, Are You Within or Are You Without? Are you within the group that wanted to press in and find out, or don't you really care? Do you just, come out of religious duty or come because you like the worship? You know, it kind of concerns me when people say, I just go to church because I love the worship. Well, worship's good, but you're not going to worship your way to heaven. You've got to know the one that you're worshiping. And if you want to worship him, you want to get to know him. And the only way you're going to get to know him is spend time with him in his word and in his presence. And so, again, people have various reasons for why they come, but Jesus here says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11, Jesus said to them, to you, it has been given to know the mystery. Okay, who's he talking to? The ones who have ears to hear. That could be anybody that wants to come in here. To you, he's talking to them. The ones that walked away, because they just walked away and said, well, we heard a nice parable. It's not for them because they didn't purpose to hear it. So he says, to you, it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. All things that don't have ears to hear, they're just going to keep hearing cute little stories and they'll never understand them. But he wants us to know. And this was, he was actually talking about scripture, verse 12, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. There were so many that saw Jesus, saw him do miracles, and they still didn't understand. They still doubted. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the others that listened to them, they weren't having ears to hear. They were coming with critical spirits. So you could see the one they were really interested in. But Jesus said, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So this evidently is the master key. And so he gives us four different grounds here of the heart. He's talking about heart because the word is the same. So the different grounds by the wayside and the stony ground and the thorns and then the good ground is all talking about the individual's heart. And so if you drop down to verse 23, Jesus repeats this again after he has explained it. He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now in the Amplified, it says it this way. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. So you have to want to perceive and comprehend. To the one that has, and he actually says that, he said, take heed what you hear. So that's important. In having ears to hear, take heed what you hear. Okay? Earlier, we saw in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus responded to Satan, and he said, it's written. So we want to be hearing the written word of God. We want to be hearing God's voice on it. Just to give you a little bit of safeguard, if you hear, let's say, a prophecy from somebody, make sure that it lines up with God's word. Don't just say, oh, well, so-and-so, I don't care if so-and-so is a great prophet, and we've always grown up knowing they're a great prophet. What they say still has to line up with the book. This is the only thing that's going to protect every one of us. And so he goes on to say in verse 23 in the Amplified, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. Verse 24, Jesus said to them, be careful what you are hearing. So there's safeguard. Be careful what you're hearing. Now look at how you hear. The measure of thought and study that you give. Who gives? Not the preacher, not the traveling evangelist. The thought and study that you give to the truth you hear. So he's also telling us that we need to hear the truth. Not just anything that's on Christian radio or anything that's coming from any pulpit. It's got to be the truth. How do we know it's the truth? It's going to be in the book. Okay? To the truth you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you. What is he saying? If you desire and purpose to press in, to study, to know, and to hear the word, he's going to give you revelation, but he's going to give you more. He's going to give you what you're pressing in for, and then he's going to add to it. He's going to give you more revelation than you've ever had. We've looked at scriptures, you know, for years and years, and then God has revealed something, and sometimes it comes from, you know, another minister, I'll hear it, and sometimes it'll come up in me, and then I'll hear somebody else preaching the same thing. We never heard it before. God is still revealing things. We can't get to the place where we think we've been at it for 20, 30 years, and we know everything. We know this much, and God is infinitely bigger than that. The point Jesus is making is you need to press in because you want to. It's the same parallel of him wanting us to love him. That's why he didn't make us robots. He gave Adam a choice. He said, don't do it. But he stood by and watched him fall into transgression, give away the kingdom, give away his headship. God was, you know, Adam was looking to God as his God, and then he changed kingdoms. Because God set it up that way that he didn't want to force Adam. He just gave him instruction. Well, that's why we should follow instruction here. So, verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. What is he talking about here? Understanding. He's talking about understanding. If anyone has ears to hear, verse 23, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use to hear, to purpose to hear, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. More measure of understanding will be given to you. And so the one that presses in, more is going to be given to him. The one that doesn't, even what he does have, it's going to be taken away. You know, I think it's in Matthew's account of this same sowing, the sower sowing the word, that, well, let's just look there. I believe it says that the one that doesn't gain the understanding, it gives Satan the ability to come and steal it. Matthew 13. Yeah, Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Why don't they understand it? Because they didn't purpose to. Because we just got done seeing that Jesus said, if you purpose to, I'll give you understanding. So it's all an issue of the heart. And none of us can look at anybody's heart in here and see what's going on in there. But God can. Okay? And so I guess the way you'd see it evidentially is over a period of time, you would either see fruit or you wouldn't. Somebody's been going for 30, you know, going to church for 30 years and they don't produce any fruit. Something's wrong. Excuse me. They're not pressing in. They're not purposing to hear. So they have no revelation. So therefore, they're not doing what the word says. So therefore, they're not getting the fruit from what the word says you should be getting. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 10, just look there for a couple minutes. Sometimes it's easy to see what something is by seeing what it isn't. It's just a good way of understanding something. And here in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul is writing and he says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Where do these strongholds come from that need to be pulled down? Well, they come from the enemy. They come from years and years of people hearing things and having mindsets. A stronghold, a mindset would be a stronghold. If it's a mindset that is contrary to God's word, that's a stronghold. But because your mind is set, you're comfortable there. And you're going to argue when somebody tries to bring the truth. Let's say they're in error and you try to bring the truth to them. And if their defenses go up and they just want to argue about it and say, well, that, you know, I've just always believed that. Well, you know, you could believe something for 100 years. And if it's wrong, it's still wrong. You know, well, our denominational church has believed it that way forever. I grew up in a church where they believed some things. They were passionate about it, but they were wrong. They were incorrect. It's not that they were bad people. It's not that they didn't love God. It's that they lacked the knowledge of the word. They lacked the having ears to hear. Amen? Okay, so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ or to the word of God. We need to line up, we need to measure everything in our lives according to the word of God, not according to popular consensus, not according to the majority. We can see that really got back when Moses was given instruction to go in and take the promised land. He disobeyed and he didn't get to go in. And all 2 million or 3 million or however many million there were, they all grumbled when Joshua and Caleb came back. And God says they had a different spirit. And they came back and said, we're well able to take what God has given us. So the 10 was the majority out of 12, 10 out of 12. You'd think, well, we're going to stick with the majority. You're not always right just by going by majority. And then the rest of the group, 2 million plus people, you know, Moses was like not sure which way to go. And they said, we'll just raise up a new leader. We'll just kill him. We'll get rid of him and get a new leader. Well, Moses disobeyed. He caved in and listened to popular majority of the people, and he got himself into trouble. He never got to see the promised land. And so, you know, we should learn from that, that, you know, popular, you know, consensus, if everybody's in agreement, but, you know, two, just because the two are in disagreement doesn't mean they're wrong just because they're outnumbered. Amen? So if we war against, if we don't walk in the flesh, although we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, and we have weapons to pull down strongholds, how about if the one that purposes to have ears to hear, to press into God's word, he gets a stronghold in his mind of the word of God? That's what we need a stronghold of. So that when the enemy comes to lie to you, you'll say, just like Jesus said, it's already written. I already know the truth. I'm sticking with the truth. And so we need to watch what we're hearing. And so hold your place there. I believe it's in Luke's account. This just came to me. Jesus said to in Mark's account of that to who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Luke chapter 8, yeah, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Mark's account, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. That's important. Well, how you hear is important as well. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from you. So he says, be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has, now the Amplified says spiritual knowledge, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the word of God. We're talking about our spiritual food. We're talking about our spiritual ears, not our physical ears. You're hearing my voice audibly through your physical ears, but if you purpose to get it, you're hearing from the inside. And that's what's important. So what are you tuned into? Let's look at Matthew 6 here for just a minute. Just got a couple more scriptures here, and then we'll let you go and meditate on it. In Matthew 6, well, I'm just going to start in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll put on. And then he goes on to say, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Now back up to verse 25. What does he say happens here? You begin to worry about your life. When you have ears to hear the word of God, faith comes up in you. And faith is going to rise up above your circumstances where you're worrying. And so it's just another place where Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about it. And he says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or you know, on and on. Why do you worry about clothing? Drop down. I want you to see something here in verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying. That's where you get caught. Worrying thoughts will come, but we're supposed to do something about them while they're still thoughts. We're supposed to cast them down. Thoughts that are of worry, and then you begin to speak them, that's where you signed on the dotted line for the package. And you don't want to do that. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry, saying. The King James Version says it this way. Take no thought, saying. That's where you own it now. And that's where you license Satan to have an inroad into your life to continue to enforce that which you're worrying about. Worry is one of the big tools in the tool belt of Satan. Fear is a big one. And actually, worry is meditating on fear. Worry is just meditating on your fear. And so he says, do not do that. He said, but you notice he says, don't worry saying. The opening of our mouth and releasing it, because words are powerful. Words are what govern your life. Words are what direct your life. What direction you're going in is predominantly because of the words you're speaking. And so if you can back up to what you believe, and then you back up to what you were taught, and you back up to the mindsets that you have produced in your life from a child, you've got those mindsets, so you continue to believe that way, so you continue to speak that way, so you continue to allow that to operate in your life. Well, let me give you an example. I just don't believe in that healing stuff. Well, don't worry then. You won't have to deal with being healed. Kind of silly to say it like that, but don't worry about it. I've heard people say, I don't believe in that tithing stuff. Well, first of all, it's not tithing stuff. It's what God instituted, I believe, to get a hold of people's hearts. He wants us to love him. He wants us to worship him, not because he's beating us with a hammer, because he wants us to. That's why he gave them the opportunity to have ears to hear, and he didn't force them. And, you know, I'm going to zap you if you don't. I'm going to do this if you don't. No, he just gave everybody that was in listening range, he gave them the same instruction. What you do with God's instruction is how far you're going to go with him. If you leave it on the table, it stays on the table. If you take it, then it works, and it'll work for you. Whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's joy. Well, I just don't understand why you're so happy. You can't just make yourself be happy. The Bible says you can. It says stir yourself up. You can put on a happy face just as easy as you can put on a sad face. It's your choice. It's your choice to have ears to hear. It's your choice. So don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry. Worry dominates the mind of the unbeliever, and it dominates the mind of the Christian that doesn't know the word. I'll say it again. Worrying dominates the mind of the unbeliever because they don't have any hope, because they have nothing to put hope in, because they don't know God. But there are those that have gotten born again, but they didn't go any further in the word. They didn't get plugged into a church. They didn't get discipled. They're going to heaven. They say they love God, but they don't know the word. So they can't get anything in that book to work for them, because they're not in the book to find out what it is. They're just hoping. And somebody says, well, you just got to pray, you know. And so they'll pray. But their prayers are faithless because they don't understand faith. Because they didn't find out how God instructed them to pray. And so verse 33 is right after that, and I quote this a lot. He says, take no thought saying, he says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Gentiles are just those without God. Okay? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? That means seek first his word. His kingdom is revealed in his word. In Mark 4, we saw it. Jesus said, how are you going to understand all the different parables if you don't know this one? This one is the master key to the kingdom. Once you become born again, you need to be a serious student of how to operate in the kingdom of God. If you want to have the blessings flowing in your life, not just a trickle every now and then. If you want to live in victory all the time instead of just every once in a while. You know, some people are like roller coaster Christians. You know, they're happy and up when it's good, but then they're down and woe is me and everything's bad. We shouldn't be roller coaster Christians. We should soar above all our problems. How do we do that? We do that by the word of God. We do that by faith. Faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. We can't get away from the word. Jesus is the word. And he said his word will never pass away. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Your words are powerful. Your words are what's going to sustain you. But it starts by having ears to hear what the word says to begin with. Then you can operate in the word. Okay, almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just give you a little up to date on the news. Well, from the word. From the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Start in verse 2. Preach the word. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come. That's where we're getting the news update here. For the time will come, and it's come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers. What's he saying here? They're not going to like what the word says, so they're going to go and try to find a teacher that will tell them what they want to hear. Friend, you don't want somebody to tell you what you want to hear. You want somebody to tell you the truth. Because what you want to hear will cost you. If you're tired of hearing about the word of God, then you're tired of hearing about Jesus. You're tired about hearing about the abundant life. You're tired about hearing about healing. Verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, they're just going to go from place to place until they can hear what they think they want to hear. But if they don't stay planted in a, if they don't get in a church to begin with that's preaching the word of God, then there's a problem. And you'll get all sorts of mindsets, and it's dangerous to just believe anything from anybody. My wife had the television on last night, and there was a preacher preaching. Never heard his voice before, and I'm in the other room. It's like, who is that? And the things he was saying, my mouth just dropped open. It's just like, I can't believe he's saying these things. And he's got airtime in front of millions of people. Amazing. Just because somebody bought airtime or somebody's on television or on the radio doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. You got to know. He was giving no scripture for what he was saying. Like, there's red flag number one. If somebody's going to stand up and talk for half an hour and not give you any word, there's a problem. I don't have anything worth talking to you about for half an hour if I can't get in the word of God. And, you know, just the way my wife and I live our lives, we can hardly talk for 15 minutes without the word coming up somehow in conversation. And now when we get talking about the word, she just starts preaching to me, and then I got to preach back to her. And it's just like, but it's all because of what's been put in us, and that has to come out. That has to come out. And so when you have ears to hear, it's an issue of your heart. And Jesus said he wants you to have the heart to hear what he's got to say. I mean, if he was willing to go through what he went through to save us, I would think we could come up with time enough to listen to him when he talks about the things of life, the issues of life, how we're going to get carried through life in victory, how Holy Spirit's going to lead us into victory, how are we going to be more than conquerors? How are we going to be overcomers? Well, the Bible says by our faith. How does faith come? By hearing the word. See how it just keeps coming back full circle right back to the word of God. Interestingly, we started in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to finish in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus, you know, was face to face with Satan himself. And he said, it's written. That's all Jesus had to do, is tell him, it's written. It's written, it's written, it's written. Get out of here. The devil's not big unless you make him big. Amen? God is a big God. The devil is a little imp, and he's trying to steal your authority, which we've been talking about for a long time. And he takes it by stealing it and tricking you. That's why you got to know the word so he can't trick you. Amen? Stand to your feet and let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you sent your word and you healed us. We thank you, Lord, you sent your word and you delivered us. You set the captives free. You preach deliverance to those that are in bondage. You preach the gospel to the poor. Father, you sent your word and you took care of every phase of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. And we're forever thankful for that. So, Father, I pray that everyone here tonight did have ears to hear, and it fell on the good ground of their heart tonight. I pray that it would stir them to study your word, to show themselves approved. I pray, Father, that they'd have a hunger for your word like never before. So we thank you for it tonight. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. We'll see you on Sunday.